Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" I'm going to say something, and it's something you don't often say, especially in the pulpit, so don't kick me out yet. But Judas has a point, and I often agree with Judas. Why would Mary waste all that money on a smelly liquid she is pouring on feet? It doesn't seem very Presbyterian to me. Before I began seminary, I worked for a small nonprofit. I would occasionally receive offers for some odd donations, and as the receptionist, I had to field all those odd requests. I was offered an antique dollhouse with custom-made furniture, the hood of a NASCAR race car, because it was North Carolina, and a gift certificate for a bail bondsman services. In my head, I would think, how in the world are these gifts going to help us fulfill our organization's mission? In lieu of random donations, I wanted money to change the world, to support our programs, and to serve our clients. But people were giving their precious items and their services in belief that it would achieve our common goals. If we ignore John's comments about Judas's character and motivation, doesn't Judas ask the same question? How is this fulfilling our ministry? What does the perfume have to do with Jesus' teaching and fulfilling the Christian life? Is spending money to glorify God wasteful? What are Judas and I both missing? In John's version of the anointing of Jesus, we meet Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha. Jesus has just raised their brother and his friend Lazarus from the grave. They have invited some friends of Jesus to their home for a meal, maybe to celebrate Lazarus' return to life. It is 6 days before Passover, and it is the night before Jesus will enter Jerusalem to die. Martha is dutiful, and she is preparing and serving the meal as the men recline around the table talking. Nothing is out of the ordinary until, for some reason which we do not know, Mary does something extravagant and even outrageous. She has used a year's wages to purchase a pint of precious perfume. And she takes this expensive perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet. Then, with her own hair as a cloth, she wipes his feet. The story also appears in the other Gospels, but in two of them, Jesus is anointed on the head. Just as the heads of many of the kings of Israel were anointed, Jesus' head was anointed to show that he was the Messiah, the Davidic king long promised to God's people. But here, Mary anoints his feet. This is typically a ritual done before burial. In a prophetic sense, Mary can see that the death of Jesus Christ is imminent. She recognizes this and responds accordingly. She sees what many of the disciples cannot see. And in the whole story, Mary does not utter one word, but demonstrates her faith through her extravagant and devotional action. She anticipates Jesus washing the disciples' feet and his command to do this for one another. And in a sense, she is the model disciple. And if people in attendance couldn't see their actions in the house was soon filled with the scent of the perfume. It pervaded the entire house. No doubt everyone was reacting to the smell, if not the extravagant thing that Mary had just done. But of all the reactions, Judas was the most extreme. Apparently, Judas was able to see what Mary was doing and immediately voices his objection to her extravagant act. John clearly takes issue with Judas's objections, adding in parentheses his aside to the narration. And just to make sure you know of the corrupt character of Judas, John writes, "Judas, one disciples, the one who